Harpreet Nathpal, and I'm representing Controller and Chair Malia Cohen. Joining us today is Lieutenant Governor Lenny Kalakis. Our Department of Finance representative is unable to join us today.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum present. In addition, I would like to identify the members of the staff of the Commission participating in this hybrid meeting. Our public speaker announcer today is Adrian Portillo, and participating virtually is meeting liaison Kim Luneta.
For the benefit of those in the audience, the State Lands Commission manages state property interests in over 5 million acres of land, including mineral interests. The Commission also has responsibility for the prevention of oil spills at marine oil terminals and offshore oil platforms and islands, and for preventing the introduction of marine invasive species into California's marine waters. I want to take a moment to acknowledge and express gratitude to the Nisenan, Winton, Miwok, and Maidu people who have inhabited the Sacramento River corridor, valley, and foothills for countless generations. I also want to take a moment to honor the California Native American communities all across the state for persisting, carrying on diverse cultural and linguistic traditions, and sustainably managing the land that we now share. Native people have maintained a constant presence on the landscape for many thousands of years, and they are essential stewardship partners, whether along the coast, along our rivers and valleys, or in our fragile deserts. We thank California Native American community for participating in this commission's activities and for their essential role in maintaining and adding to our state's rich cultural legacy. Now I want to turn it over to Dr. Dumlau to quickly share some instructions on how we can best participate in this meeting so that it runs smoothly as possible.
Thank you. We have one public comment period at the end of the meeting to speak during either a general public comment or on an item on our agenda. Please complete the electronic request to speak form on our homepage. We will hear from in-person speakers first, followed by virtual participants in the order requests were received. For those in the meeting room, please be aware that the microphones are quite sensitive. If you talk to someone nearby, your conversation may be heard on the webcast. We recommend stepping outside if you need to speak with someone. For virtual participants, please keep your microphone muted until called. To request to speak, raise your hand by clicking on the hand icon in Zoom or by pressing *9 if joining by phone. If calling in and wishing to watch the meeting, please use the CalSpam webcast to avoid audio feedback. If you receive a prompt to be promoted to panelist, please accept it. When called, you will be unmuted. Remember to unmute your device, identify yourself, and keep comments respectful. Disruptive speakers may be muted or removed. Speakers will be given a maximum of 2 minutes to speak, which may be adjusted to give everyone to speak. For technical issues, contact SLC.helpdesk at SLC.ca.gov. Written comments may be emailed to csLC.commissionmeetings@slc.ca.gov. Madam Chair, that concludes the hybrid meeting instructions. We are ready to move on with the consent calendar.
Thank you. The next order of business will be the adoption of consent calendar items 1 and 2. Commissioner Kunalakis, are there any items that you would like removed from the consent calendar?
No.
Next, I call on Dr. Dumlau to indicate which items, if any, have been removed from the consent calendar.
No items have been removed.
May I have a motion to adopt the consent agenda?
So moved.
And I second. Mr. Dumlau, will you please conduct a roll call?
Yes, so since we do not have our representative from the Department of Finance, we will have to do roll call votes for the consent calendar and anything else.
Okay. Today. Dr. Dumlau, will you please conduct a roll call vote?
Yes, Commissioner Kunalakis?
Aye.
Commissioner
Narkwal?
Aye.
All right, that motion passes 2-0.
The next order of business will be the regular calendar.
All right, thank you. Item 3 relates to an assignment of 4 leases for the use of existing offshore oil and gas pipeline pipelines associated with the Santa Ynez Unit offshore Santa Barbara County. There will be no staff presentation or action to be taken for this item, but we will hear public comments.
Do we have any public comments for item 3?
Commissioner Nackwell, there are no one signed up for public comment and no hands raised at present.
Commissioner Kunalakis, do you have any comments or questions?
I do not.
Our next order of business is the public comment period. If anyone wants to address the commission on any matter not on today's agenda, staff will call on those who are here in person first. Next, we will move on to those joining us virtually. Please call on the first person who would like to make public comment.
Yes, Kim. At present, there is no in-person comment signed up. The first commenter will be online with a PowerPoint with 2 minutes, Jennifer Creaston.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we
Oh,
can.
great. Okay, terrific. Thank you. I'm Jennifer Creston, and you have my slide up, so thank you. And good morning, commissioners, staff, and representatives from the State Attorney General's Office. Some Newport Beach stakeholders will speak today in relation to an 11-page letter sent to you on July 23, 2026. We read in staff materials multiple times that Newport's clear differences in rate revision methodologies for mooring permits and residential piers appear to be political in nature and may violate the granting statute and the California Constitution. As you've been informed, the Newport Beach Harbor Commission has noted political aspects as well. Yet the political in nature language from State Land's previous reports was removed from the final report, even though it hadn't been struck in the red line version. After receiving the report, Newport's mayor and council voted to form an ad hoc committee made up of two members from their own departments. The city stated that the public meeting exempt committee's sole purpose was to review and develop recommendations for the full council on a legally compliant, transparent, and strategic path forward, ensuring the city's actions sign with applicable state law and trust principles. Four council seats in Newport Beach, however, are up for grabs this November, which may explain why, after formation of the ad hoc committee, the city seems to have rethought, changed course, and shifted process responsibilities back to the Harbor Commission, a commission that was not elected by nor is accountable to the public, and that created and oversaw years of the city's gifting and problematic management of public trust lands, as well as originating many of the other issues we now face. This is political and does not inspire confidence in the supposedly fair and transparent process or outcomes necessary to preserve and protect coastal access for thousands of people at risk of loss. City's plans and desires to confiscate the personal property that is mooring tackle owned and maintained by individual California residents and the associated permits acquired through compulsory government policy are not actions to be taken administratively. I believe that it is time that the state land steps up and does what state lands has multiple times said that it, quote, must, end quote, do. That is, report to the legislature any transaction or condition in. Excuse me?
Thank you, Ms. Creston. You have hit your time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Second public speaker will be with a PowerPoint as well, Peter Kaz.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Peter Kaz. I just want to continue with the PowerPoint. You must recognize your own stated requirement in the staff report 66, page 2. If the commission determines that any transaction or condition is in probable conflict with its act, the grant status, or with any other provision of law, it must report to the legislature, which may direct the Attorney General to bring legislation to revoke the grant or compel compliance. In a staff report 105, page 2, if the Commission determines that any transaction or condition is in probable conflict with this act, the grant statute, or with any other provision of law, it must report to the legislature, which may direct the Attorney General to bring legislation to revoke the grant or compel compliance. In a state land report on the City of Newport Beach Public Trust Lands Management, page 6, transmitted to the City on January 6, 2026, if the Commission determines that any transaction or condition is in probable conflict with its act, the grant statute, or with any other provision of law, it must report to the legislature, which may direct the Attorney General to bring the legislation to revoke that grant or compel the compliance. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Cass, for your comment. Third to speak will be Adam Leverins.
Good morning. Is my audio coming in okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. The previous speaker, it's been stated multiple times by state land staff that they must report to the legislature if anything is in probable conflict with the grant. It's clearly been established that there are things in probable conflict, and I'd say go beyond probable. At the meeting on May 27, state lands in the city indicated that they used qualified language to avoid the must report condition. The city has continued, even today, put false information on their website, false information in their surveys, make false statements at local meetings and newspapers. The city cannot be trusted to work closely with state staff and protect coastal access for thousands of people. Between June 30th and July 1st of this year, their mooring licenses increased in cost by 34%. Their slips at the commercial marina the city operates increased by 16%. I'm going to quote the lieutenant governor from December. I would like to say, on a somewhat personal note, as a person who was born and raised in California and has spent more than my fair share enjoying the waterways of the Delta and the Sacramento River, and more than my fair share of time out on San Francisco Bay, that you should not have to be a person of great means in order to be able to spend time on boats in California. It especially bothers me that the rates for moorings in a place like Newport Beach are driven by supply constraints and by demand for too few moorings. Close quote. The city has conned you into believing that there are too few moorings. There are 100 vacant moorings every day, but the city has raised the price so high on the sublet of those moorings that nobody uses them, which makes their city licenses look appealable. This is all price and market manipulation. Somebody has to wake up and see this. It's not going to fly in a courtroom, and we don't need to waste time in court. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Mr. Leverance. The next commenter will be Samantha McDonald. Samantha McDonald, if you are present, you may unmute yourself and speak. We will come back. The next public commenter will be Shali Hilkema. Hi, Ms.
Good
Hilkema, if
morning.
you
Good
are
morning,
present.
commissioners. Thank you. Newport Beach has mismanaged the tidelands for decades. Its policies unfairly benefit yacht club members and those with residential pier permits, while mooring permit holders are overcharged, highly regulated, and strictly monitored compared to those who are favorably positioned. It wants to raise only our fees 300 to 500%. It intends to end only our permit transferability, and it wants to take our moorings without compensating us. The fact is, we can't rely on our policymakers to keep their word or honor decisions made by others. And the lack of policy continuity has caused members of our user group to feel a sense of instability about their place in the harbor. The Coastal Act calls for the protection of recreational boating harbor space, but the city's plan will make moorings unaffordable for those with moderate means. Recreational boating is a protected use under the public trust. Since it's your duty to promote public trust uses and protect public access, please support fair policy for all Newport Harbor recreational tidelands permit holders by requiring Newport Beach to adopt use of the state lands Category 1 benchmark rate for recreational docks, piers, and mooring buoys. Thank you.
Thank you
Thank you,
for
commissioners.
your comment, Ms. Hilkema. The next speaker will be George Hilkema. Hello, George Hilkema. Can you raise your hand and
I'm
let's.
so sorry. I'm George's wife, and George has had to go off to work, so he isn't able to be present today. I apologize.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next commenter will be Captain Maggie Hellihan with a PowerPoint presentation. Hello, Captain Maggie Hallahan. If you're present, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, I am. Good morning, commissioners. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Last session, San Francisco Sea Scouts came in front of the commission to speak about Gashouse Cove, the only gas and diesel fuel dock at in San Francisco, and it also serves as the emergency response center. I'm a California Boating and Waterways Commissioner, and I'm also on the San Francisco Harbor Safety Committee. We've been warning San Francisco that this fuel dock needs to be kept open, also because of emergencies. You can see the AIS of where the boat had flipped over in San Francisco Bay, some of the roughest water in the San Francisco area. And then the slide on the right, you can see the about a mile distance from Gashouse Cove where the emergency response took place. Please, next slide. So in 1962, California built this particular area as a fueling site for gas and diesel, pump out, emergency oil response, and also emergency response. You can see that in the marina, it's a bit of a cul-de-sac because it's surrounded by water on all three sides. And Laguna Street goes straight into where this emergency response area is, and it was used. Please, next slide. So, in the Harbor Safety Committee, San Francisco region, they completed a several-month ad hoc research, and San Francisco Recreation and Park is stating that they have to close this area as of January 1st because of remediation, which is not true. The Harbor Commission has evaluated this as not correct and has written a letter to BCDC asking BCDC to keep this area open and usable as it is now. At the 8.5 foot depth, it does not need to be dredged. Thank you so much for your time, and you guys all have a good day.
Thank you for your comment, Captain Meg Hallahan. Next up, we would like to recall Samantha McDonald. If you are present on call-in or under a different name, may you please raise your hand so that you may be seen? I have a hand raised next for Neil Desai.
Morning, Chair Cohen and Commissioner Kunalakis. Hope you're all doing well and the staff. I'm Neil Desai, Pacific Region Director with the National Parks Conservation Association. I wanted to provide you with some updates on the proposed Cadiz groundwater mining project. Earlier this month, the federal administration issued Cadiz a pipeline permit without conducting any review of the impacts of the project's massive groundwater pumping and export. The administration did this over the objections of U.S. Senators Padilla and Schiff, Congressman Raul Ruiz, California State Historic Preservation Officer, tribal nations, and community leaders, including Dolores Huerta. In the final weeks of the first Trump administration, this same permit was also issued, also without environmental review, and it was thrown out in federal court. So, more to come on that. The day after the permit was issued, the Intertribal Association of Arizona, representing 21 tribal nations in Arizona, adopted a resolution opposing Cadiz joining California Desert Tribes and demonstrating that Cadiz proposes an unreliable water source that would double down on the Western water crisis, not help solve it. On the financial front, the company's most recent annual report filing with the SEC shows $34 million in losses last year, which would bring us to an average of $24 million in losses over the past 20 years, each year over the past 20 years. So we hope the commission is as concerned as so many of us are about Cadiz and the recent developments. We ask that you take all actions possible to stop this human-proposed disaster. You have the tools to do this. Working with the state legislature, the governor, the strong backing of Senator Feinstein, well, we were able to pass that law in 2019 that provides the commission with regulatory oversight in Water Code 1815 and a clear, easy-to-meet standard to deny Cadiz authorization. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Desai. At this point, there are no longer any hands raised. We would like to circle back one last time for Samantha McDonald. Are you present? I have no more public comments, Commissioner.
Great. Thank you very much, Adrian. That concludes our public comment period. Good morning to the staff and colleagues. Thank you for stepping in my stead. Commissioner Kunalakis, I was wondering, do you have any questions or comments? If
None at all. Good morning, Madam Chair.
Okay, good morning. Thank you. All right, Dr. Dulao, what's next on our order of business?
Our next order of business is closed session. Informational item 3 on the regular calendar, Government Code Section 11126, Subdivision C7, allow the state body to discuss real property negotiations in closed session, provided that before the closed session, the state body in open session identifies the real property concern and the person or persons with whom the negotiator may negotiate. In accordance with this requirement, I announce that the Commission will conference in closed session with its real property negotiators regarding the following item. Informational item 3 addresses 4 applications for assignment of leases governing the use of existing offshore oil and gas pipelines traversing state waters associated with the Santa Ynez unit in federal waters, including the Ellsworth Pier and 2 mooring buoys offshore Santa Barbara County. Negotiating partners, State Lands Commission, ExxonMobil, Pacific Offshore Pipeline Company, and Sable Offshore Corp. Under negotiation price and terms, lease numbers PRC 4977, PRC 5515, PRC 6371, and PRC 7163.
Right. We will now adjourn and into a closed session. Thank you.
Thank you. So we
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are now back in full session. I'll turn it back over to you, Dr. Dumont.
All right. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. So pursuant to Government Code Section 11126, Subdivision C7, the Commission met in closed session regarding applications for the assignment of 4 leases governing the use of existing offshore oil and gas pipelines traversing state waters associated with the Santa Ynez unit in federal waters, the Ellwood Pier, and 2 mooring buoys offshore Santa Barbara County. And we also have comments from Chief Counsel Blackman on other items that we handled in this session.
Yes, commissioners. We'd like to report out that the commission heard 2 settlement offers, and I will explain what those what the result on those were. In the case of Johns et al. Versus the County of Orange et al., the commission heard a settlement offer, and the commission has considered and rejected that settlement offer in the Johns versus Orange County, but has authorized commission staff to extend a counteroffer, which we pursue and coordinate with the Attorney General's office and the executive officer on finalizing that settlement and counteroffer. In the second item, In re Signal Hill, which is the Signal Hill bankruptcy proceeding, the commission considered and accepted a settlement offer, and staff will continue to move forward with that, as will the executive officer in coordination and guidance of the Attorney General's office. That's all we have to report out from closed session.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Kalox, any parting thoughts? Any? No? All right. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.